Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
God is so, so good. We serve an amazing God, and he wants to reveal himself mighty and strong amongst us here this morning. Amen. Do you believe that? So I was just looking at the pulpit earlier on, and when that shutter was open, that the sun was just streaming down on you. And I just believe that God, his light is upon this word this morning. And it's a word that's applicable to each and every one of us sitting here. I feel if we are serious in our walk with God, God is speaking to us through this word. And God's calling us into a place of, we need to be serious with him in this time. And the title of my message is Back to the Heart of Worship. And we all know that it's not just the songs and we sing and that, yeah, that is part of it. And it was so awesome this morning. God's presence was really tangible, but it still is. God's presence is so tangible in this place. Back to the heart of worship. And I want to touch on this morning is on the heart and on the fear of the Lord. And when I start touching it, I'm just touching on it because we can spend the whole day, a couple of days on these areas. But I'd like to read Proverbs 4:23 for us. So the word of God says, keep your heart with all vigilance. From it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. And in Hebrews 13 verse 8, the word of God says that Jesus never changes. Never. He's the same today and forever. He never changes. And for many, many years, Lenny and I, we've often like pondered the church, and we've thought and we've just discussed a lot of different things, and the way God moved years before, and what's been taking place in the body of Christ, and I've often said to Lynn, I just feel, and just me, like sometimes there's maybe just something missing. And if we go back to the word, and the word that I read to you now, it says that Jesus never changes. It's maybe that sometimes the change that has taken place is that we've strayed. That we've strayed and that we've moved away in some sense from God. And how have we strayed and how have we moved away? And that's why I want to come back to the heart and to the fear of the Lord. So it all begins with a heart. It lies in our hearts. And the word says that our lives are the overflow of the heart. I really, truly believe that. So many, many years ago, as a young lighty, my dad used to sponsor boxers and that, and it was the big guys, the heavyweights. And one of the things that they would look for is to see if this guy's got heart. And you can see a boxer or somebody that's got heart, they put everything into it. Everything. Like that boxer, when he claps you, boy, there's everything in it. You've got like tons of power coming towards you. And that's something that they looked at to see if he had heart. And there's another saying. His heart is not in it. Yeah, we often hear that. His heart's not in it. And if you look at somebody's life or what they're doing when their heart is not in it, what do you see? Sometimes you can see that they're not interested, but they're just doing it out of, yeah, because they have to or whatever. And I just felt, I just wanted to just touch on that. And in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, what is the word of God? It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. To give strong support to the one whose heart is right with our Lord. How amazing is that? Strong support. Genesis 17, verse 1. This is a short paragraph. It's actually the story of Abram. And God, he was called when he was 70-something years old. But when he was 90, we see in the word that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. So I want to ask you, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, I know you, most of you have got your Bibles on your phone. So the word that we have and the Bible that we have is that is that God's word to us, God speaking to us through his word? Yes, it is. So this word here this morning, God is speaking to us. Inasmuch as he spoke to Abraham, then he's speaking to us through this very word this morning. That he's looking for a body, that he's looking for a people that will walk blameless and perfect before him. I'm going to get back to that word perfect a little later on. So what was the Lord actually saying to Abraham? That I'm going to be watching you. Every word that you speak, all you do, everything is to be in obedience and your commitment to me. God is not only speaking that word to Abraham, but he's speaking that to us today. So we take everything to God. Everything, the smallest thing to the biggest, we take it to God. And often we do our own thing, then afterwards we want to run to God. But take it to God, everything, everything. Take it to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be your everything and he wants to be your first. So if for every one of us here who's going to take their place in God, we all need to walk before God perfect. And I know you're thinking, sure, that word perfect. Yeah, there's a lot involved there. Yeah, yes, there is. So in other words, what is the Lord saying to us? I believe that he's calling us to a higher level in our walk with him. Mark's been preaching to us about contending for the New Testament church. Contending for the New Testament church. That's what a boxer does, he contends. Contending for the New Testament church. What does God want to do? What is he doing? He's bringing us to a place of repentance. He's bringing us to a place of humility. A crucified life. He's bringing the altar back. Due intercession. Worship. Holiness. I'm going back to contending for the New Testament church. This is nothing new. God's taking us back, contending for the New Testament church. So when I started back to the heart of worship, So we're going back because somewhere along the line we've missed something. Or we've dropped the ball. Let's turn to Job 1 verse 8. If I go a little bit over this morning, is that okay? I'm not sure how long we're going to take to get through this. I know I'm normally short and sweet. But yeah, it's... Tell us everything. Yeah, I must be honest. Last night I went around and around and I was writing and suddenly I was, what am I doing? It's now to start again. So yeah, but God is good and God is speaking to us this morning. So let's see, let's go. Job 1 verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man. Now listen to this. Who fears God and turns away from evil. Who fears God and turns away from evil. So what is perfection towards God? It's right attitude towards God and towards evil. So that we need to have the right attitude towards God and towards evil. You can't mix the both and think, okay, everything is going to be okay. It means no compromise with anything that is unpleasing to our Father. It's obedience, no matter the cost. And when I wrote that down, the scripture that came to me was, pick up your cross and follow me. Obedience, no matter the cost. We often read in the book of Chronicles that the kings were often assessed by whether their hearts were perfect towards God. And if you read through Chronicles, you see that. God was always looking at their heart. To where their heart lay with him. And if their heart was in the right place. In Exodus 20 verse 1 to 3. Where the Lord took them out of Egypt. And he was saying to them. That you'll have no other gods before me. God has taken us out of the world. And as he's taken us out of the world, the things that we used to do, things that were important to us, the gods that we took care of, God's calling us to a place where he is our everything. And to look at that scripture, do we have other gods in our lives? And maybe you're sitting and think, nah, no, not at all. But really look at it. And look at the things that are important, that you deem important. So I said to you, we'd get back to that word perfect. So I'm not talking about a heart that is perfect. But we need to look at a heart that is perfect towards God. A heart that is perfect towards God. That's what he wants. And I want to give you an example. And I thought of the easiest and the best example was David. Because we all know the story of David. And we've often read that a lot. And it's been preached a lot here in the front here. David wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't morally perfect before God. But the difference was David's attitude towards God. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 13 verse 14. Let's see what the word says. So we all know that Saul was king. That David was to take his place. So in 14, the word says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. I have found a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Are we ready and are we prepared to do the will of God? Are we ready? David wasn't perfect, but he had the right heart, and that's what the Lord is looking for. That's what he's looking for. It was absolute faith in God. He loved his law. He loved the word. He loved God's word. He was ready to do my will, says the Lord. And then the other area that I want to touch on is the fear of God. Sure. The fear of God. So many, many years ago, and I try to think back on how long it was. So it's probably 33 years ago, I was a young Christian. I'd just given my heart to the Lord. And there was a lady by the name of Dina Smith, and she ministered on the fear of the Lord. Those years back, long, long time ago, I can't remember everything that she said, but you know what? It keeps coming back to me. It keeps coming back to me. And just through that message, all those years, God has been doing something, and he's spoken to me, and he's pinpointed that, the fear of the Lord, those years back. So what is the fear of God? I believe that it's reverence, is to be committed, fully committed, and submission. Fully committed and submitted to God. So often when we would take the freeway, the R21, on the way to Pretoria, on the right-hand side going towards Pretoria and coming back on the left, there was always this huge sign, and I'm not sure always used to put it up, but it used to say there, turn back to God. I don't know if anybody saw that. Mark? Yeah? I'd often ride past and I'd read this. Turn back to God. So, who is that sign speaking to? To us. Talking to the church. Turn back to God. Yeah. Turn back to God. Where have we strayed? Where have you strayed? Where have you moved away when it comes to the fear of the Lord in your life? Let's see what the word says. Let's turn to Psalms 25, verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Sure. And he makes known to them his covenants. The friendship of the Lord is to those who fear him. And he makes known to them his covenants. Sure. How powerful is that scripture? Yeah, very. Proverbs 14. 26 to 27. I love this. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Wow. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So what I've seen is that the fear of the Lord doesn't make you timid. It doesn't make you weak. It gives you strength. I don't have to fear anything else when I'm walking and I have the fear of the Lord in my life. It's the remedy for all ungodly fear. I want to give you another example. We're going to go back to David. David and Goliath. Yeah. He didn't fear Goliath this much. Why? Because there was the fear of God in that man's heart and in his life. That's why he could stand up against that man. We're going back to Proverbs again. Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 5. So how do we walk in the fear of God? How to? Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 5, the word says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures," verse 5, "then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God." It's there you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Is the word of God to you like precious treasure? Do you search it out? Do you seek his word? Do you eat his word? Are you living God's word? Is God's word alive in you? Alive in you? Psalms 34, verse 11. So who teaches us the fear of the Lord? The Holy Spirit. "Come, our children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, our children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." How does God speak to us? Through his word. How does he speak to us? There are times of intimacy with him. So what isn't the fear of God? I'm sure you all know what it is, but I just want to touch on it. The fear of the Lord is not natural fear. The fear of the Lord is not demonic fear, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and of a sound mind. It's not religious fear that's been taught by man, by the commandments of men. Outer conduct, but it's out of the heart. The fear of man brings a snare and it holds us back from obeying God. Yes, it does. The fear of God brings a snare and it holds us back from obeying God. I know in my own life, for many, many years, I battled with that. The fear of God. And truly, yes, it was. It held me back. It held me back because I was worried what man was thinking, what people would say. And God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. So what does the fear of the Lord do in our lives? I believe that it motivates us to obey God and it brings peace in our lives. It motivates us to obey God and bring peace in our lives. The fear of the Lord is obedience to His word. Never put in anything else in our lives but besides Him. So I fill my life, I fill my heart with everything that is of the Lord. Everything. And that's what He's wanting. And we sang that song that He's mighty. That God wants to show Himself in us mighty and strong. It's first place, no other gods before me. Back to Exodus 20 verse 3 where it says that, the word says that you'll know, have no other gods before me. Nothing. Nothing. So who is our pattern? Jesus. Jesus is our pattern. If Jesus had to walk in the fear of God, how much more do we? Let's see what the word of God said. Let's turn to Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 3. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Wow. The Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit rested upon him. And that we see that even in Jesus' life, he had to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, I believe, will lead you into all obedience. Let's turn to the book of Acts 9 to 31. So if you read the chapters before 31, you see that the church was actually going through a time of persecution where Saul was persecuting the church. But they came to a time now where they were into a time of peace. So in 31, the word says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it multiplied. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it began to multiply. So what do we see here? We saw that the Holy Spirit comforted. There was safety. And there was peace. And then there were numbers. They were multiplied. They grew. They were edified. They were being built up. And it came from that, from the fear of the Lord. If you want to grow, You want to see God. We need to move in the fear of the Lord, and that the fear of the Lord, and that needs to be evident in our lives, in my life, and in your life. I felt I needed to put this in as well. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Where it says that we are to be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And sometimes that's not always easy when we gather together as the family of God, because we're all different. We all got our hiccups. We all got our issues. Sometimes we all see things differently, but we submit to one another in Christ. Amen? Yeah. That's what God wants. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Who's God talking to? Yeah, he's talking to us. He's talking to me. And he's talking to you this morning. God paid a tremendous price for our redemption. He paid a tremendous price for our redemption. And we need to evaluate our lives. I'm going to have to stand before God one day and give account. As with you, every one of us, we're going to stand before him and give an account of our lives. So what are the keys to a perfect heart? The fear of the Lord. The Word of God says that the fear of the Lord is clean and it's enduring forever. Number one, it's the continual cleansing. Number two, there's life. Number three, the family is blessed. Your family is blessed when you're walking in the fear of the Lord. There's freedom from all evil fear. He shelters us. He protects us. He keeps us. There's deliverance from snares. There's abiding satisfaction. There's preservation from evil. There are riches and honor. And there is hope. There is hope. I just want to go back to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Where he says in his word that he's looking for a certain kind of person. Where we have no areas in our heart that has turned away from God, and that we are committed to him. So in order for me to do the will of God, I have to make a commitment. When I am committed to God, totally committed to him, guess what happens? Revelation and understanding comes. When I'm committed and I'm walking with God, I'll have a revelation of him. It's not about me. It's not about what I can get. and how it benefits me. It's all about Jesus. And Him first placing my heart and my walk with Him. And I think for, in many ways, if you just look at the body of Christ, we've moved away that and it's gone to the eye, the great eye. How does it benefit me? What do I get out of it? God, what can you do for me? And we need to turn that thing around where our Father becomes one, number one in our lives. I'd like us to turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. This is tough. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in parched places of the wilderness and in an uninhabited salt land. But if you read further on, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. So there are two types of people here. The first one, the one that is cursed because his heart is turned away from God. And he's walking a self-reliant walk. The second one is a man that is blessed. The one who trusted and is confident and does not fear. He's walking in the fear of the Lord. So how do we grow in the fear of the Lord? How do we grow in the fear of the Lord? Let's go back to the word. Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 1, verse 28 to 30. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. So what is the word saying? There was a decision that needed to be made. They did not choose to take the right course. Accepting counsel, they were unteachable. We need to be teachable. We need to be teachable. We need to turn to the Holy Spirit. He teaches us the fear of the Lord. I have to listen. And in my listening, I will receive. If I don't listen, I don't hear, and I don't learn. You know, God speaks to us through His Word. And He'll speak to us through our friends. He'll speak to us through family, yeah, in the congregation. And He'll speak to you through those that rule over you and those that minister and preach from this pulpit. God speaks to us and to watch over us. And we need to submit and we need to learn. We need to apply God's word to our lives. And if we're applying God's word to our lives, we'll begin to walk in the fear of the Lord and understanding will come. I read to you earlier on that He'll show you His covenants. God will reveal Himself to you in a special and in a mighty way. What made David different. Why was David so different? Why was he a cut above the rest? It's because his heart was pointed towards God. He had a deep desire to follow God's will and to do everything God wanted him to do. He had faith that God would deliver him from anything. He knew that. God granted him understanding and wisdom. And I want to encourage you this morning. I really, really do. God is calling us here, this congregation, like David, to be a cut above the rest. Do you believe that? I believe that. I'm going to show you something now because God's been speaking to us about that for a long, long time. So on my left, we've got all these prophetic words here, and we have some of them on that side of the wall here, but on this one here, on the first sheet towards the bottom, and we got that word in May. I think it was the 17th of May. I could be wrong, but it was the 17th of May. And the word that we had for this three congregation, that God was calling us to be a flagship. Do you be a flagship? Do you remember that? Yes. God is calling us to be a flagship. So what does that mean, to be a flagship? He's calling us to be a cut above the rest. He's calling us to be a cut above the rest. To be a flagship, I've got to be different. It's a boat that's out in front and it's leading. And that's a word for everyone here, for all of us. Just under that word, flagship, I don't know if it's underneath or on top, it says there that we need to be courageous. Sure. We need to be courageous. So if we're wanting to be a cut above the rest, and we're wanting to be a flagship, we're wanting to lead, as the Lord is calling us to do, we need to be courageous. David was courageous. He wasn't worried about what everybody thought, because he was carrying the fear of the Lord. He was walking in that right place with Jesus. Let's turn to Psalms 119, verse 2 to 3. Sure. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. And I want to leave that scripture with you this morning. And I pray that you'd walk out of here this morning with something. And that as you continue to search for God, that it truly becomes one in your life. Amen. That we would be the cut above the rest. That we would be part of the body of Christ that would lead. And our dimension that the church and the world needs to see. Something needs to be different. And what is that different? That's Jesus here in our lives. We carry that. We need to start carrying that. Are you ready for that? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we just love you so much. We love you so much. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And we know, Father, that without you, what are we without you? We are nothing. You are, Father, you are our everything. And that you'd be everything to us, Lord, like that precious treasure, that we would search you out like never before in this time, Lord. And Father, I pray for us as a body of Christ that as we search you and as we look for you, and as we keep our eyes on you, Lord, that you begin to speak, that you begin to speak to us, Father, through dreams and visions, and through your word, Father, that you would become alive, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to share with you that a lot of the stuff that I've used here this morning, I've used from Derek Prince's notes. So I know we've been going through a lot of his stuff on the Seaway group, so it was just to bring conformity so we're all in the same place. Love you guys. Be blessed. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Ivan. Yeah, I think that's a serious word in season, just taking us deeper and further into the Lord. So I want to continue. The Lord just hasn't finished with us. Fleur's going to share, then Celeste is going to come and sing a song as she's sensing the Lord.
Okay, so when Amanda was had that prophetic, all that encouragement for us, I felt the Lord saying to me, you know, those things that you are holding on to that are that burden, they can become an idol in your life. And your focus can be just on that. And I want to share about, I hope Amanda gives me permission, about Amanda. I've seen such a huge change in her because her focus at one stage was on that idol of what was happening in her life, but she gave it over to the Lord. And she's a walking testimony of what the Lord has done in that situation where you hand it over. And then I was trying to follow Ivan, and I wasn't doing a very good job because I had my NKJV, King James Version Bible with me today because I couldn't find the other one, but there was a reason. And the Lord brought me to this. It's 1 Chronicles 16, verse 26, and I believe that he wanted me to share it with you. It ties in what Amanda shared and then what Ivan has just shared with us. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. So bring that offering of the pain and the hurt and the everything else that you're struggling with. And come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God, for our salvation, of our salvation. Give us together, gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles. And I felt there the Gentiles is also is delivering us from those demonic forces, from those evil things, from those thoughts in your mind that are hurting you, you know, the battlefield of the mind. To give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Celeste. Thank you, Fleur. Robbie?
I would like to sing a song over us as a congregation, and I want you to deliberately open your heart towards God today. Something that God speaks to me and Renette often about is the virgins and the lamps and the oil in their lamps. And I believe there's no accident or there's no coincidence that we are here today gathered in the name of Jesus. We are here because we're called to respond to what was there today, and that's what the song is about. Abba Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we respond to your call to move higher.
deeper. Fan your flame within our hearts to move in the fear of God. We respond to your call in this day. Father Jesus, Spirit of God, touch our mind and heart today to be moved, to be responsive to your call. Jesus, Jesus, you walked this earth to be an example to us. We respond to your call. Yes, Lord, we do. Fan the flame within us. Fan the flame within us. We say yes, yes to your call. To walk in your fear from now on. We say yes, yes to your call. We say yes, yes to the call. To move deeper. To move deeper and higher. God, reveal yourself through your word. To be more obedient. To live from the word of God. We say yes to the call. We say yes, Lord.
Father, you have encouraged us this morning to take us deeper. And as we've heard the words and the preaching and teaching and the song, Father, I just respond on behalf of us. As much as we've been prayed for, Lord, we respond to you. We respond to this call to be a flagship, to the call to fear you, to walk in the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, we know that's a high call. That's where you've called us out of this world into your very presence. It's not just something that happens. It's a call from you. So Father, here we are again, like Isaiah, we respond. We want to go deeper and we want that same heart that David had, Lord, the attitude towards you and living in that higher place of serving you and loving you. So here we are, Lord, take us deeper and further. We trust you as we've cast all our burdens upon you. You've taken into this place to bring glory and honor to who you are. You're a great God. You're a great God. And maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus. You've heard all these things, but maybe it's your day as you've come to understand how great he is and how wonderful he is and he's worthy to be feared. But he's reaching out to you with his love. He's calling you unto him, and maybe he's knocking on the door of your heart and asking you to respond to him. And maybe that's you today, and maybe you've never responded to the call to him. And if that's you today, I'd like you to respond in your heart. We've heard about the heart, and confess with your mouth that he's your Lord, and then follow him. And if that's you today, say this powerful prayer. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to grow in understanding of who you are. And as the scriptures have encouraged us today, I want to grow in the fear of you, because you tell me that's a place of blessing. It's a place where the wisdom of God is found, knowing you as the living God. I thank you for this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, God takes us into the holy place, but there's an outer court that we also got to work in. We can't just live in the holy of place. We have it in our hearts. So we got a practical issue to deal with now. So Robbie's going to just share with us quickly, just as we deal with one of the practical issues around administering the life of his church. Thanks, Robs.
Morning, everybody. I'm the lucky winner of doing that kind of stuff. So, but it's cool. It's an absolute privilege. So I'm here to just discuss about hosting. I think before we go any further, I just want to say, Sharon, there she is. Thank you very much for all you've done so far. We really appreciate you. Sharon has just stepped down for a season. Hosting is not one of those areas that you get the limelight and the thanks and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the word speaks about how we do it unto the Lord. Just going through scriptures in prep on this, believe it or not, it's almost like doing a sermon. There's a lot about serving, and we're doing it unto him. I was going to read some scripture, but I think for time's sake, no. Okay, so we'll just go into just the practicalities. What I'm asking is, we're needing to host every morning. We'd like to generate 5 teams, so that what it does then is it just Sunday mornings, yeah. Unless you want to come every day. So only Sunday mornings. And if we could get 4 on a team, and we can get 5 teams, that means 5 weeks, because sometimes we have a 5-week month. That means you're only on once a month. It's really not asking much. Just in preparation, I felt the Lord say, how many of us would be upset if we prayed and we said, Lord, we need some help? And he said, just wait, I'm busy with the guys in Ukraine. I'll speak to you later. I'd be one of those. Okay, maybe you're not all as bold or like me, but I would say, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, you know. So, and he gives us so much. He gives us our gifts. He gives us our homes. He gives us our health and just giving back a little bit in serving his body. You know what I'm saying? And it's nice to come to the front door and to meet someone with a friendly face, to get you and everything's nice and in place. The heaters are on and we can go on. So I'm just asking for folk, please, if you can put your hands up, contact me and we'll put you on a team. If you want to be what we call a captain of a team, so just in charge of 4 folks, we only need 4. And I can tell you we can do 4 easy. And that would be it. So we'd have 5 teams, 4 folks in a team, and the requirements are really simple. You're here early. Okay, so that's about 6, so it's not so late. No, I'm only joking. Okay, if you can get here before 8, that would be great. Because a lot of people are rolling in then, and we'd like it all prepared when people start coming in, and we can welcome the early birds. All right. And then obviously afterwards, if you can just help us, like, close the blinds, shut off the lights, clean up briefly, and get this thing all safe and sound. Anything I missed, I don't think. So, yeah, please, this is not a request from me. It's not a request from Mark or the elders or whoever. It's really just putting out there. It's an opportunity to serve to the Lord and give back. That's why I see it. And I would hope that message comes across to you. So please contact me if you stirred in this. We all serve. This is an easy way to serve. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Robbie. I think just the ministry of helps is such a key aspect. We facilitate this for the people outside there to come in here. So please put your hands up for that. And if we don't have enough of the team, we're going to be approaching you and nominating you. And you better say yay. Well done, everyone. We have had a fantastic morning with our Lord. Well done to everyone involved. God is good. Come and fellowship with us, especially visitors. Come and have a free cappuccino with us. Let's go and continue to fellowship together. God bless you all. Amen. Amen.